Okay, so now that we've we wouldn't want to say we finished the Sugya of Yoav. We made a nice foray into the Sugya, and what we ended up determining is that the nature of the mitzvah is going to have a great impact on whether or not we're choshish v'yora. Since the nature of the mitzvah of Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim is a certain sense of aniva, so any scintilla of gaiva, whether it's prakdan or whether it's the idea that a person is going against an anan sade, is going to be unacceptable to us. Rashi, Sachim, Dafnan Hay, there's only one person, if you're Mekabel Melchus Shemayim, that can really wear the keser, and that's not you, right? That has to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the nature of that mitzvah militates in favor of a more rigorous and more sensitive approach to Yohara, whereas if the nature of a mitzvah, such as Melechas Tisha B'Av, is to reinforce a sense of avelus and a sense of not being Horish Minot Tzibur, but the opposite, to be Nichnas V'Tzaratan, to be Mis'ane V'Tanisan, then certainly our orientation is that the nature of the mitzvah itself gives greater leeway La'olam Yasa Adam Atzmo Kitam Chacham, so it didn't prati in both directions. Is it possible that you could have a deviant individual who wishes to demonstrate his religious superiority by not doing Melacha on Tisha B'Av? For sure, but the Halacha looked at it not so much as a din of the Gavra, which you were trying to say, but in terms of the nature of the mitzvah. So again, we came to this again, Agav, the question of Rav Gamliel and Chassan and Nitrad and Nechbaz and Mavuhal. So let's now go back and review some of the fundamentals that we have in terms of what I like to call the three dinim constellation in the Rambam, as well as the other Rishonim as well. And this is exactly where we're going to pick it up. This is what I consider David to be probably the most fascinating aspect of our entire discussion so far, I guess with the possible exception of the Rambam versus the Ramban Ravid issues about Kabbalah's Malchus Shamayim versus two dinim of Kriya, which I think is also very exciting. But this point is even more subtle than that. So we have a very exciting day planned today. So again, just in terms of the three basic dinim, which we know are deeply related to one another. So Kavana, at minimum, we paskin like Rav Meir. Rava endorses him halacha kebasraya that's required for pasuk rishon. So we know that Tosfos, Yid Gimel Amud Beis, and Tezayin Amud Aleph reaffirm that idea. We know that the Rambam is on board with this. We know that the Ritva is on board with this, but we are aware of the possibility that there's somebody who thinks that it's actually Parsha Rishona. Again, not just because that's the position that's articulated by Rabbi Akiva, by Rabbi Yehuda, by Rabbi Yochanan, but there is a Rishon who we think could very much be along those lines, which is Pitas Rashi. Again, Rashi, Adaf Tezayin, which we already saw, and we wanted to align this Rashi with the Rashi on Beis Amud Aleph, the Indian Kriya, that you could be so meich on Kriya Shmalamita, and that, especially for Rashi, would bridge the world of Kavana and the world of Kriya directly. Now again, this isn't the only way of drawing a connection between the world of Kavana and Kriya, because even, let's say, according to Shittas HaRambam, so a person who is Nitrad of Avoal, a person is Nechbaz, with Dvar Mitzvah, so that person is Pater, right? Person is Pater, that's just a Kriya Shema, but from all the Mitzvahs, and the Rambam says, a person, generally speaking, can be Machra on themselves, but if they're really not able to generate Kavana, right, they really cannot generate Kavana, so that would be an ego in the Kriya itself. Okay, so we've made that point. Let's talk about Kriya a little bit independently. So we said there are different approaches in terms of what the Chi of Daraisa is. On the one hand, we have Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah has a number of rayas, including Shmuel's perspective on Daf Chav Aleph. He also wants to make a comment on the basis of Yid Gimel Amud Beis. I guess it's the Daf, so you have Shmuel on Daf Chav Aleph. About Kriya Shema as a Din Rabbanan. You have Yid Gimel Amud Beis, Yoshia. Again, the Gemara doesn't paskin, he says, but it's entirely possible that we hold like Rabbi Yoshia, where Kriya is only a mitzvah in Parsha Rishona. And then again, the third source would be Tezayin Amud Aleph, because of the Umnin there. And he says about the Umnin, if you look at the Gemara is Mechalik between Parsha Rishona and Parsha Shnia. Okay? And he says the reason that they can stop doing Malacha for Parsha Rishona alone is that Parsha Rishona is the only Kriya Doraisa. So they can make Chiddush. But we wondered, maybe this Rabbeinu Yonah is actually connected to this Rashi, if you believe that Rashi holds that Kriya's Parsha Rishona is the only Din Doraisa. Clearly, on the other end of the spectrum, that Yom would be the Shita of the right, the Rambam holds that, optimally speaking, Shalosh Parshios Eilu. Even the Rambam himself will admit, this is important to take note of, the Rambam himself will admit that not every time are you dealing with an optimal situation, so you already have very, very clear evidence. Who said that?
Shina also, right. You're say, so like
the Rambam will admit, in the case of Ones Shina, so just Pasuk, Rishon, we should just go back and note for Rabbeinu Yonah, right there in that Sukkia, so it's Kriyat Shema. That when the Gemara says that his Kriyat Shema was Pasuk Rishon, he says
it's just Pasuk Rishon
equals Parsha Rishon. Now that, of course, is a little bit of a dubious kind of a move, but it's not the only time we saw that move, specifically related to the question of Kriya and Kavana, because who Avi did effectively the same thing as Rabbeinu Yonah, but just in the opposite direction. Excellent. Very, very well done. So the Bali Hatosos themselves said, in terms of the Sugya of Ha'umnin, okay, Bali Hatosos here said the difference between Parsha Rishona and Parsha Shnia wasn't really the difference between Parsha Rishona and Parsha Shnia, because he says, after all, we paskin like
Basrai.
The Basrai, we paskin like Rabbah. So what that sugya is really about is kavana. So they hold that the umnin only really mafsik for pasuk rishon. So they want to bridge the world of Yud Gimel Amud Beis and Tezayin Amud Aleph to be talking about exactly the same thing. And that's what we thought was the interesting point. The Rambam could have done that, because the Rambam, again, just like the Bali Hatosos, is committed to this same basic doctrine, right, that Kavana is a din in the Pasuk Rishon, but the Rambam triangulated, and the Rambam said no. Okay, we know what he holds about Kavana, we just went through what he holds about Kriya, but he says the Sugya and Tetzayin is actually about something a little bit different. The reason that Po'alin are going to be B'tayin and B'malachim, good of the Malabayas, he has to come down, as we said, Hu Birshas Atzmo, he doesn't have any counter pressure here. But the Rambam, the same Rambam in Hilchos Schiros, about Yaakov HaTzadik, right, about the responsibilities, David, that the employee has to employer, not to waste even a second. Hayisi Vayom, Achalani Chorev, Bekerach Balayla, Batidat Shnasi Me'anai. We really value the Poel's Malacha, and so, okay, when it comes to the Parsha Shnia and the Parsha Acharona, we'll let them say it while they're ongoing, involved in the Malacha. The Balabais is obviously going to have to come down. Tefillah is racham eininu, so for tefillah, we're not going to allow any of this to take place unless you're in a battleship, which is the Gemara's equivalent of a zayas, right? A tree which is so sturdy. So the Rambam says, even though Tosfos, was a very tempting position to take, that what's the way to read the Gemara and Daf Tezayin, according to the Rambam? So it's not really a din of kavana, it's not really a din of kriya, it's a din in kriyas arai, okay? So the Rambam holds of a new position, Okay, we'll see what the source of this is. We're going to take a look at this today. That the Rambam holds is something else called Arai. After all, Parsha Rishona is described in the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph as the Parsha of no, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, Kabbalas, Ol Malchus Shemayim. So, does the Rambam think that the notion of Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim applies to all three paragraphs? Of course, he does. What's the cold hard proof of that? What's that? The Enigris Kriyat Shema, right? Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, the sugya of Pirkidan, the sugya of Yohara, right? There are no internal distinctions there. But we could certainly say that when it comes to the entire Kriya, the Rambam holds up Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim. But does Parsha Rishona have a special status? Of course it does. That's the Parsha which you might call the Ikar Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim. The Rambam says it has Yichudo, it has Ahavaso, it has Talmud Torah, Shua Ikar Hagadol, Shakol Taloibo. So that's the Ikar Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, really does belong in the Parsha Rishona. Okay? So this was Arai as measured by Po'alim continuing to engage their Malacha. Let me be very clear. Do we value their Malacha?
Yes.
Of course we value their Malacha. The Rambam uniquely values their Malacha. Yafa Talmud Torah Sheishim Adarach Haaretz Chol Talmud Torah Sheinam Malacha Sofel B'Teila V'Goras Avon. And the Rambam felt that a person who wasn't involved in Malacha and was only going to be involved in Torah was Mevaz Es HaTorah Mechad Or HaDas Mechal Es HaShem V'Gori Yibrel HaAtzmo V'Noto Chayef Min Olam. So it's a bad thing not to be involved in Malacha. We value their Malacha greatly, but it undermines the Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim of the Parsha Shona, because that's the Ikar Parsha of Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim. So we're going to get to see today, we're really in for a treat, I really believe, is that this din of Arai is actually somewhat flexible. Okay? This din of Arai can stretch to include other sections of Kriyat Shema, depending, Ben Sion, on what exactly is making you Arai. So again, if it's Malacha that would be making you Arai, so we value Malacha. As you said, the Rambam even uniquely values your engagement in Malacha. You're not Birshus Atzmo, you're Birshus
Rabbi.
Right, I mean, only look further than Birkas HaMazon. What do we say? That even if you hold that Atzmo Meitiv is really Doraisa, nonetheless, the Po'alim are not going to have to say. We make all kinds of concessions when it comes to Malacha. But let's say you were involved in something that wasn't quite, let's say, a Hefsek. Let's say you were involved in something that was not a Halachic value like Malacha. Is it possible then that we could expand the din of Arai to all three parshios? Because after all, the Rambam believes that Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim isn't, maybe it's primarily a din in the Parsha Rishona, maybe it's a more intense factor in the Parsha Rishona, but if the Rambam thinks that Kriyat Shema Bichlal is all three parshios, and again in the third parsha, the Zuchirat Yisias Yisraim is for 2 reasons explained in the Ikar, part of the Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, it's an intrinsic part of Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, and Pirkei Dan is an ikuv in all of it. And after all, what the Chassid said was all three parshios, and the Chashash Yorah applies to all three parshios. So it is conceivable that the din of Arai can be stretched to include all three parshios. That's what I want to set the table with. Let's now jump right into it. Okay. And this is the, as you saw, it's very much the sister sugya of Dav Tezayin. So Israel, Rashi and Tosos had a fundamental disagreement about Dav Tezayin, but what they fundamentally agreed about was what? That Dav Tezayin was all about, in a word, Kavana. So what was their disagreement? Right, so the Balei Tosfos say, look, we read the Gemara in Daf Tezayin in light of the conclusions that we drew already in Daf Yud Gimel.
So when it says Parsha Rishona here, you know, we paskin aliba de rabba, we think that this question of the Po'alim being Osek or not Osek in their Malacha is really synonymous with Kavana. The Gemara does seem to talk about Kavana in this context. It doesn't necessarily pin down that it's ultimately an issue of Kavana. As we know, there were others who understood it differently, but the Balei Tosfos say, let's read Tezayin in light of Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We've already paskin aliba de rabba, halacha kebasrai. So Kan b'Parsha Rishona is just our way of saying Kan b'Pasuk Rishon. Rashi, you know, is entitled to more strict constructionist rendering of the Gemara Daf Tezayin. He also assumes about Kavana. He paskins that Kavana is required for all of Parsha Rishona, right? And he may hold that Kriyas Parsha Rishona is the only part that's Doraisa. That's the sort of the grand prize if Rabbeinu Yonah can pull Rashi over to his side. And here we have now this sister sugya to that discussion. You saw in the tour, you saw in the Beis Yosef, there's a great instinct to discuss the two of them together, and we'll talk about that. So here in the Gemara in Yuma, we have a different kind of a case entirely. We'll read it inside in just a moment. But Menachem, what's at stake here? We're not talking about the Po'alim who are trying to balance, you know, two very important values. On the one hand, Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim. On the other hand, Nasata v'Natata be'amuna, right? Integrity in Dinei Mamonos is a very, very important value. But we have, what's the apparent counter pressure? The apparent counter pressure is something of no halachic significance. A person, signaling and gesturing, Mikey, and making all kinds of signs, kritzas, Sfasayim, Yora, Be'etzbaos, you know, all, there's no value that we would have possibly associated with that. And the Gemara says that this is something which is not compatible, at least on a L'chatchila level, with Kriyas Shema. And then the Gemara wants to drill down further, and we'll get to that, you know, in just a second. So you saw, especially in the Beis Yosef, right, both an impetus to put these two Gemaras together, Yuma Yutes and Brachos Tezayin, and the Beis Yosef, even though in the end of the day he comes down in terms of Parsha Rishona, so the Beis Yosef started out, Avi, by entertaining what possibility? That maybe we should reread the Gemara in Yuma in light of Brachos Daf Yud Gimel, namely, and to say that when the Gemara eventually concludes Parsha Rishona versus Parsha Shniya, that all we're really talking about when we say Parsha Rishona is Pasuk Rishon. In other words, Ben Sion, to collapse everything back into a question of Kavana. If you're, you know, being Moreh Be'etzbos, and you're being Romez Be'enayim, and you're being Koreitz Be'sfasayim, then that probably is a referendum on your Kavana, and they come down in the end, you know, Liba the most Rishonim, and they say, okay, well, no, we'll say Parsha Rishona here as well, really means Parsha Rishona, even though the Balei HaTosfos would probably disagree with this conclusion. And if you took a look in the Mechaber, right, Rami, you want to just put the Mechaber on the ledger. We're going to see the Gemara inside in just a moment, but the Mechaber says, Zekorei Kriyas Shema, lo yir mos be'enav, lo yikrotz bisvasav, lo yir abetz bosav. Right, so he's obviously referring to the Hemshech of the Gemara in Yotes, but that is lehalacha, the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, that if you're going to be signaling, you better save it for Avayayim Shemoa. And Levi, what's his logical basis for drawing the distinction? We know what the textual basis is, Kan b'Parsha Rishona, Kan b'Parsha Shniya, is he says that Parsha Rishona is the Ikar Kabbalah Sabalcha Shemayim, right? Not to deny that there are vestiges of Kabbalah Sabalcha Shemayim in other Parshios. That's going to be a very important formulation because we're going to see that at least one very prominent Rishon might even be able to sustain that formulation of Ikar Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, even if he takes a more stringent point of view. So we will come back to that as well. Okay, so that's a little bit in terms of the setup and the basic architecture of the sugya. Now let's take a very careful dive into the Gemara Daf Yuma Daf Yutes. Ilan. Right, you are not calling out to me, O Jacob. This is no kriya as far as I'm concerned. Velo osi karasa Yaakov. So you would think, just, you know, again, based on the simple presentation, Akorei Yishma, that it would be encompassing of all of the parashios. But the Gemara then pivots. Go ahead.
No?
Yeah, that we limit it to Perek Rishon. Now, for Rashi, this is a very, very convenient distinction. And he says, word for word, what he says in Brachos on Daf Tezayin, right, when it comes to the Po'alim, right, that it's all about Kavana. Rashi says here, Perek Rishon, go ahead, Ilan, Sarech. Right, and again, Rashi's understanding, like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Akiva before him, like Rabbi Yochanan after him, was that was the way that we paskind. Tzarech bo kavana, shenemar bo, v'hayu ha-devarim ha'ela, and we assume that we are referring to here the entire paragraph. Okay, so that's what the Gemara has to say. That's Rashi's interpretation. And again, presumably, the Balei HaTosos, even though they don't weigh in on the discussion locally, the Balei HaTosos might be motivated to say that Perek Rishon really means just Pasuk Rishon, and it's all about a question of Kavana. Let's go a little bit further in the Gemara. Go ahead, Ilan. Tanu Rabbanan. Right. Okay, so that V'dibarta Bam, Bam meaning, very good, right? Has to meet certain standards. Yira, Kavod, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Be'emtza, Beina Prakim. But Tfila, we're not going to give any such dispensation, right? Afilu HaMelech, Shoel B'Shlomo, V'afilu HaNachash, Karuch Alakim. It's literally Pekuach Nefesh. It's a different story. Well done, Ilan. Now shifting, what's the simple pshat in this line? V'dibar tabam, bam yesh lecha rishus ledaber v'lo b'dvarim acherim. Well, probably now shifting over a little bit less about Kriyat Shema. Ezra, what did you think? Yeah, Torah. Shinat zvecha v'dibar tabam. Remember, igmaru b'naichu Torah k'yechi deligrasi behu, right? You shouldn't be talking about bachi and parcheesi and mahjong. No question about dominoes. I agree with you there, Levi. V'lo b'dvarim acherim. The Rabacha wants to up the ante a little bit. Oh. So in the simple reading of the Gemara, now we've finally gotten to the source of, you know, whoever heard of the Din of Arai. We came in through the side door when the Rambam started talking about Arai and the Po'alim, right? So now we actually have the Makor, and the real Makor, as we like to say, is actually something having to do with Talmud Torah, not so much with Kriyat Shema, right? V'achomer v'dibar tabam aseosan keva v'al ta'asem arai, right? It's in the context of a statement beforehand that had to do with Torah, right? That we should make Torah always keva and not arai. Followed up by Amarava. And once again, V'achomer Yaakov Amar. Okay, now that's probably an asmachta, right? It's probably not really a mitzvah asay and a los asay, but it gets you the sense, v'dibar tabam asay osan keva v'al ta'asem arai. Now, this was clearly what the Mechaber was referring to when he was paskening his halacha in Hilchos Kriyat Shema Urechayim Simen Samach Gimel, and he was talking about kritza and remiza and hora'a, And he said, oh, because it really eats away at one sense of this being keva, and instead you are rendering it arai, which again, I'm just trying to point out to you, is not the simplest reading of the Gemara. Okay. But be that as it may, the Mechaber has upheld, and you saw him going back and forth about this, you know, in the Beis Yosef, he's upheld the idea that here Parsha Rishona means very much Parsha Rishona, the Bali HaTosvos notwithstanding. And what's his explanation for this again, Avi? Why would I draw a distinction between Parsha Rishona on the one hand and Shnia and Shlishis on the other? Parsha Rishona is Ikar Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, an intrinsic part of Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim is a person having an orientation that's keva, just like Gaiva and Srara are a problem. A person who's in a cavalier state, he's gesturing, he's signaling, he's referencing, he's making all kinds of hand motions. This is not somebody that's in the mindset of keva, which is necessary and possibly a prerequisite for Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim. And again, the sugyas match up. We call them sister sugyas very nicely. If you're a Parsha Rishona man like Rashi, you say that it works very nicely across the board. Brachos Tazayin, Yuma Yates. If you're a Pasuk Rishon group of guys like the Bali HaTosos, that's what you'll probably do. You may choose to split the difference somewhat, right? And say, okay, well, you know, like the Bali HaTosos say here, here we're talking about Parsha Rishona, but it's their assumption that everybody will understand the sugya in one of those two ways. Again, you saw the Beis Yosef struggling back and forth with it and saying, well, you know, probably could only mean Pasuk Rishon, like the Bali HaTosos, and then in the end he comes to Parsha Rishona, and that's reflected in the Pesach and the Mechaber. What about the tour? Let's take a look at the tour. Ben Sion, why don't you do the honors? Right, so he's already staked out his ground, and he's going to say it's all Perek Rishon. He's not willing to go along with the Bali HaTosos. He's not going to be dragged down that rabbit hole with them. Right. So the tour is saying, I refuse to go along with the Bali HaTosos, right, and Rashi, and make this synonymous with Kavana, right? I'm going to agree in practice with Rashi that we're talking about what the Gemara seems to be saying, Parsha Rishona, but I obviously hold that Arai really isn't issue of Kavana. So what exactly is Arai then? Yenison? Well, how about just quoting from a Makor?
Makor? It seems, I mean, at least it seems Bukhar from the Shomar, that's Din and Kavana.
That it's a Din and Kavana? I don't see the Shulchan Aruch use the term Kavana even once. If it was a Din and Kavana, why should it only be Pasuk Rishon? He toyed with that. There's a line where... Ilan? Good. Exactly. So how would you put that in your own terms? It has to do with Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim. Yeah, you know, I'll just be, you know, doing my thing and I'll be Makabel O Malchus Shemayim. I mean, my God. You know, when they had us in Yavne, it was only through, I think, third grade, but every morning, while you pledge allegiance to the flag... So, Mr. Becker, I'm not sure if he's still with us. If he is, may he have good health. If he's not, may he rest in peace. Mr. Becker used to make us stand straight and tall, as he said, and we were mekabel the sovereignty of the United States of America. Procton would have gotten us. It's impossible to even say what would have happened. You know. And despite all of my confusion as to where Wichita stands were or were not, thus, you know, we were not, you know, Mikabel, you know, sense of loyalty to this country, Biderech HaRoi. We weren't Mizalzilba. We weren't, Kedever HaKal. We were, you know, in unison. One nation, under God, indivisible. Liberty and justice for all. So there you go. So, you know, that's the sugya, or more precisely put, that's the sugya until Shitas HaRambam. Okay. Now, Shitas HaRambam was so maverick here that, you know, there were those who were in denial. Even after the Rambam, you know, totally recast this sugya, as you saw in the Kesef Mishnah, there were those who couldn't handle the truth. They rebelled. But he didn't really mean it. He's keeping secrets from us. He didn't want to be Megala. You saw all of those formulations. But Avi, what's the Rambam's position on the matter? We'll see it in sign just a moment, but how does the Rambam clearly hold, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the Isser of Karitza, Remiza, and Hora...
It's
about
listening to what you're saying.
It applies to all
of them. Of course it applies to all three parashios. No difference. It applies to all Kriyat Shema, which are, of course, are Shalosh parashios. No difference than Pirkei Dan. No different than the question of Yohara. Again, Kabbalah Malchus Shamayim is relevant to all three parashios. Is it more intensively relevant, even according to the Rambam, to Parsha Rishona? Of course it is. Prove it. Ha'umnin, Shimi, excellent. Shimi, the Rambam is your just desserts. So, it depends, obviously, and this is why I keep on stressing, what exactly is the counter pressure? You know, when there's a significant halachic counter pressure, we may allow you, you know, to privilege that over, you know, the dimensions of Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim in the Parsha Shniyah Ushlishis, because we really do value your malacha from a halachic standpoint. But when the counter pressure is a halachic efes, kritza, remiza, hora, so then the mechayiv of arai, dahainu zilzel, dahainu, you know, kalos rosh, b'makom Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, quite naturally expands to all three parashios. Okay, Shimi, bring it to us inside. Now, what does Kriyat Shema mean? Let's stop there. Let's just be medayik this 1,000 times over. Right? Zoya nikres Kriyat Shema, shalosh parashios eler al seder zeh.
Even though he was technically Yatza, Hare Zemibuna, this is disgraceful. But Sarah Shmi Allah Azna, he has to make sure that he's hearing it, Kisha Hukare, when he's reading it, but Imlo Hishmi Allah Azna Yatza. But if he but you don't actually hear what he's reading. He is still Yatza, just like before. But Sarah Fadaktek, Yossi Yosef, he has to be grammatically correct with his letters. But if he isn't grammatically perfect, he's still Yatza. He's a didactic. How is he a perfect grammar? Ishmor, Velo, Shelo, Yerope, Achazak, Velo, Yachazak, Arafa. He has to make sure that the emphasis on the right syllable. Velo, Yaniach, Hanad, Velo, Yanid, Hanach. And I'm not entirely sure what Nad and Nach are, but I should probably find that out at some point. Therefore, Tzarech Litein Rabach Bein HaDvakim. He has to put a gap between the words that are communing together. Bein Kol Shtei Osios HaDomos, between every two similar letters. Sh'achas Me'en Sof Teva Ve'acha Ares Techila HaTeva. But that one is at the end of one word and the other is at the beginning of the next. Asmuchala, that's right next to it. Keep going. For example, B'chol Levavacha Kore. Kare b'chol b'shohe b'chol zer b'kare l'vavcha. He can't say b'chol l'vavcha with the lamed blurring together. He has to read b'chol, then make a gap, and then say the rest. B'chayim b'yavadatem me'era, and so too with b'yavadatem me'era, and hakanat pasil, and a bunch of other examples that the kids have said.
So why did I even include this section? Why did I go on?
To show that this is I think to show other examples of things that you are technically yatsa to do, but you shouldn't do because like you didn't say Maguna by those, but I felt like it was implied just by the fact that he uses the same language with them.
I hear that, Mikey.
Because he goes on to talk about not only the first parsha but the other parshas as well.
Correct. So it's very clear in this entire section of Perek Beis of Hilchos Kriyat Shema that the Rambam says what he means, and he means what he says when he said in the first chapter, Shalosh Parshios Eilu. So the Rambam never backed down off of that. So the Rambam didn't accept the pivot in the Gemara and Yuma of Perek Rishon and Perek Sheni. And again, it's not that the Rambam is some, you know, totally binary thinker, and he says, oh, you know, it's all three parshios or nothing. Again, Shimi, you are absolutely right. The Rambam recognizes, and I think can endorse, the notion of Ikar Kabbalah Malchus Shamayim in Parsha Rishona, Viharaya the Omnit. But again, why Noam, in your own logic, would the Rambam say that the Psak Halacha is going to look different? In the two sugyos of Arai, the Umnin, Brachos Tezayin, and Kritza Remiza and Hora'a Be'etzbaos, Yuma Yates, why in one does the Rambam say, okay, we'll draw the line at Arai at Parsha Rishona? The language of the Gemara is the same in both places, Kan Parsha Rishona, Kan Parsha Shnia, Rashi, Kishitaso, right? The Bali Tosos Kishitasam. So why should the Rambam be the only one, you know, who feels like he has to be different?
Well, because the first one, we have, like, two kind of competing values. Like, we want to do work, we don't want to waste, like, the first time, and we also have to follow the Allah for Shemaim. Like, it's still doing what Hashem wants you to do. You're still working. The other one, like, you're just, like, kind of distracting yourself and people around you by, like, kind of looking like that.
Now, who can go back to what the Mechayiv is, as it was articulated by the Beis Yosef, and say that's exactly the point? That's not just a question of the counter pressure in isolation, but what's really the mechayev of B'Torah Saraya, Ephraim?
Mitzvah Kala.
Right. So yeah. Now explain. Now put that into context of the counter pressure.
Right. So if the whole point is that it's not that the mitzvah is Kala, and you would rather that you have two different, you know, mitzvahs almost you have to do, then you're allowed to say, okay, you know, I'm mekabel machol shemayim, I'm being mevato for the first parak, but then for the second and third parak, and I can do that while I'm doing work, because I'm being mekabel, I'm fulfilling my kabbalah machol shemayim almost.
Right. That's the strongest formulation. But even if you don't want to take it that far, I'm not doing this because it's a mitzvah kala be'enai, but I recognize that I have, you know, responsibilities, and halachic responsibilities, you know, mitvar sheker tirchak, etc. Right? But if the counter pressure, Menachem, is Remiza, Kritza, and Hora'a, and a person starts in the second paragraph doing that. So what would the Rambam say about that? It's a Davar Meguna.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That this person really is demonstrating a lack of Kovod Rosh when it comes to Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. It's a very serious problem. So the counter pressure is the Gilui Milsa, so to speak, on whether we're dealing with a person who's Mezalzel B'Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. It's absolutely the case. Absolutely the case. So it's really fascinating. I mean, take a look at the Kesef Mishnah. I mean, again, with respect and with reverence, but the Kesef Mishnah, Rami, you want to just put his suggestions on the ledger inside? I mean, it's hard to believe. It says, V'efshar. This is the underlying part. It says, V'efshar. You know, maybe. You know, it's true that we're reading the Rambam. We're not seeing the Parsha Rishona and Parsha Shania. So what he's like, you know, he's bothered. What's going on, right? Nobody else said this. Rashi didn't say this. Tosfos didn't say this. The Torah didn't say it. The Ritzkeis didn't say it. Rush didn't say it. So, like, how is the Rambam different? So he says, maybe the Rambam really can be different. It's really only got to be Parsha Rishona, but after the Rambam was keeping a deep, dark secret. It was the deep state. You know, the Rambam very much, you know, he only meant it for Parsha Rishona, but he was afraid that if he spilled the beans, all of a sudden, you know, they would treat Parsha Shnia like Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. They would be calling for its, you know, abrogation. Okay, Inami. A very strange doctrine, perhaps even stranger than the first. Now, what's he suggesting? That for the Rambam, what's that? Exactly. Right. It would still be l'chatchila aser to do, but it's not really a davar meguna. So pray tell, then why is it aser? What's the nature of the iser then? What's the mechayev? It's aser. Why? Because kritza kedibur dami? I mean, really. It's very, very hard to make sense of either of these suggestions in the Kesef Mishnah. It makes much more sense, and I think, you know, as Yenison would say, the Fiani is Daiti, say what we said, to say that the Rambam is very, very clear. The Rambam knows how to be mechalik between Parsha Rishon and Shnia, and to tell you so explicitly. You have a test case here. You have proof positive. You have the umnin. He said it there, outright. In this case, the Rambam isn't mechalik between Rishon, Ashni, and Shlishis, just because he thinks they're all part of the broader rubric of Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim, even though I'll be the first person to tell you that I do believe that the Rambam subscribes to the notion of Ikar Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. And that's also what Umnin proves. And Shimi, you said that exactly the same time, so that I know that I'm in good company. Okay, Ephraim was first, then Ezra.
By Prakdan, the Rambam says that you're not Yotzei. Right, if you're Kori Prakdan, the entire three parsha.
He says Usser.
Usser and you're not Yotzer.
Let's just go back and read the language. The Rambam says that it's Usser Lasos Kain. I don't remember if he came back and said Asa Kain Lo Yatsi De Chovaso. Let's get out my. You have it? Yeah, just read it out loud for us. Yes, it's what I said. Right, he doesn't actually come back and say, Lo Yatzidei Chovaso.
Okay, but I would you think you'd say you're Yotzei or not? Because
I have a hard time saying that you would be that it would be Likuva.
Maybe then it's more of a category. What I would suggest is like,
yeah, go ahead.
Because if we have this category of umnin, where you know you're right, you're having a career that's maybe technically arai, but it's not really arai the way it's also because you're doing it for some halachic responsibility that you have to keep.
Correct.
And so we might say that there's also a difference between doing something which is harmless, neither good nor bad, during Shema, versus doing something which is derasar rabbanos, which is directly contradicting it. And you might say that, you know, if you're directly contradicting the kriya that you're making, then...
Because you're saying pirkadan, that's direct contradiction.
Right, that's all you have.
Whereas remiza, kritza, and hora, you're saying it's not good or bad?
It's almost harmless, yeah.
I see it as a little bit less than... I don't see it as innocuously as you do. Because let's call it kalos rosh.
Okay.
You know, you're being mekabel ol malchus shamayim, and you're signaling to that guy over there, and you're like, you know, signaling over there, and you're winking to that guy over there. That's what we're talking about. That borders on the issues of gaiva and svara. I'm being mekabel ol malchus shamayim with my, you know, culotta over here.
What if it's like, you know, Yenison left his safe on my desk, so I'm like, you know, that's not called a srosh. That's just saying, hey, you know, pick up you know, this is your safer, you might want to have it.
I know, but that's hey chitimtzi is, you know, takes it a little bit. The way that I understand, you know, the case of remiza and kritza and mora, I see it as something which undercuts the sense of yira of kabbalas malchus shemayim. I mean, I think that's the way the Beis Yosef said it. It's a kalos. It's a kalos rosh.
Beis Yosef, you said kalos rosh, you said it shouldn't be kalos. You don't want mitzvah to be kalos. Kalos rosh and mitzvah kalos are different.
So what would you say mitzvah kalos means here?
It means you're not really regarding the mitzvah so important because, oh yeah, I can tell you, his safer is over there.
That's what I meant. Maybe kalos rosh is a little too strong because it's not, you know, frivolous. You know, Shimi, you did use that term. But I don't see it as innocuous.
Okay.
I see it as, I wouldn't say it's as bad as, you know, some of the worst pathologies like Pirkadan or Yuhara, but I would say it's on the spectrum. Rami. Sorry, Ezra, I forgot. I'll get back to you.
Is it possible to say that Pesimishan doesn't think that you're just being the Zalim, but also you as well as Al-Mushimai?
Is it possible to say... I don't know. I mean, he's totally in denial about the Rambam. I don't know what he really what he thinks. I mean, I know what the Beis Yosef thinks, and I know what conclusion the Mechaber ultimately came to. And he says, you know, it's a problem in terms of Kabbalah's Malchus Shemaim. So it's some kalus issue. Ephraim doesn't want to go as far as kalus rosh. So mitzvah kala, I think it's a zilzal. I think that's what he thinks. Ezra, go ahead.
How exactly do we use the phrasing of mitzvah's kala from Beis Yosef to explain Rambam?
They're saying, you know, what basically establishes whether or not you're taking something seriously. So, you know, let's say the following. Mashlama davar doma. So, you know, my wife is telling me something that she deems important, and, you know, I'm listening, but I'm also, you know, helping one of my children take a bath. So, you know, if she were telling me the house is on fire, you know, I'd stop and, you know, pay, you know, stop everything else. Right? Because that's, you know, that has a special status. If she's telling me something of importance and I'm you know, giving the kid a bath, so I'm not demonstrating a lack of regard, right? What is that she's telling me, because I'm involved in something else that we both value very greatly, and, you know, there's just a time pressure, and I'm trying to get out to, you know, Mariv and my nighttime shiur, and, you know, that's the reality, but I am listening, right? So I'm not, by engaging in something else, I'm not in any way indicating a sense of disparagement, maybe that's the best word for it, you know, towards what it is that she's telling me. Right, but if I was watching television, right, so then it would be zilzal. So that's what I'm pointing out. For the Rambam, the counter pressure was everything in terms of determining the nature of the mechayev of arai. It all depends what else you're doing, and that's why, you know, Ephraim's formulation took it even further. Like, if you're doing something that reflects Kabbalah's malchus shemayim, because you're also invested in midvar sheker tirchak. And not being a ganif, you know, and to be gonev es bal habayis, you know, like the Rambam again, and then the Vilchos Chiros, then, you know, that's something that we could accept. It's very similar in some ways to Levi, the point that you and I were very excited about the other day, that the halacha is responsive when a person is nechbas l'dvar mitzvah. right? That generates a p'tur. If it's a davar shebirishus, right? So then that doesn't, because the counter pressure just doesn't warrant any kind of a p'tur. So again, if the counter pressure is you being an honest and ethical person with integrity and nasata v'natata v'emuna, that is the first question we're going to be asked. So the halachas go race that. Not during Parsha Rishona, but during Parsha Shnei and Shlishis. It has nothing to do with Kavana. Nothing to do with Kavana. It has to do with Kabbalah Malchus Shamayim for the Rambam. It's not a Kavana Sugya. It's a Kabbalah Malchus Shamayim Sugya. Right? But if it's because, you know, you're the Houston Astros and you're signaling, you know, left and right and up and down, you know, pretty bitter about that. Okay, things would have been different. So in any event, you know, then it's a very different thing. That's what I mean. By the counter pressure really shaping to whatever extent there's zilzal or there isn't. Yeah, Yehuda, go ahead. Levi, go ahead.
I think the lesson is never to give the kids bags.
Possibly. Mikey.
The first is, on the board, you added the tour to the Tosfos.
He said, he just says explicitly, I paskin, then only Pasuk Rishon requires Kavana.
Okay. But don't Tosfos apply this to the...
He doesn't agree in terms of the conclusion of Poalim, yeah.
And in the Beis Yosef says v'chein katev Rambam Zal our reading of the Rambam was not that.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness to him, he may only mean here the Rambam in terms of the Umnin, as opposed, okay. Yeah. But I it's possible that the denial went deep enough for him to, you know, allege that the Rambam said this about Remiza Kritza and Hora Abed Spos. Very, very deep state of denial. Yenison. Shy. I think it's the latter, especially based on his formulation, the Beis Yosef. Yeah. Yeah,
sort of piggybacking on the prime is a good idea.
Yeah.
Such thing as, like, Pu'ulo is the Gaiva
Usrara? Pu'ulo Shel Gaiva Usrara. I don't know. I mean, I think that we've tested the idea in three ways. Yohara per se, Pirkadan, and then Zilzil through, you know, Kritza, Remiza. So I think this is the closest that we've had. These are Pu'ulos Shel Zilzil, I would say.
Why would you say Remiza, Kritza is
Gaiva Usrara? No, I would say Pu'ulos of Zilzil. You're Mizalzil.
That's very different than Gaiva Usrara.
I reiterate what I said before. I think it's on a spectrum. For you to say that, you know, again, someone's back to the Mr. Becker example. If you really felt that you were Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, you wouldn't be doing these things.
I suppose the final illusion is that the name came, it's a category on its own, not specifically related to both Kuala and Kriya.
That's the punchline of this year. That's why I started with Rashi and Tosos are convinced that this is all about Kavana, right? So, you know, Marka de Islay, Umarka de Islay. Tosos a Pasuk Rishon, and Rashi Perek Rishon. They want to just, like, learn the whole Sugya that way. But it's clear that there's another strain in the Sugya. And the Beis Yosef identified that other strain in the Sugya, but what he couldn't see is that led the Rambam to the conclusion that sometimes it's going to be Perek Rishon, and sometimes it's going to be Shalosh Parshios, depending on, you know, what exactly it is that you're doing. There are pu'ulos shel mitzvah. There are pu'ulos which are either neutral or negative, depending on whether you agree with Ephraim or I about, you know, what this kritza, et cetera, is. Okay, let's give Ephraim the last word, then we'll have mincha.
If I were Beis Yosef, I would argue back that how can you say that the Rambam isn't mechalik? How can you disagree with the Ketzav Mishnah when the Gemara is mechalik?
Right, so the Rambam didn't accept that pivot. The Rambam just accepted the Brisa,
But how can the Rambam not accept the Gemara?
No, no, again, so the Ram,